That is me standing in Lompoc, California, the place he's referring, at the Diatomaceous Earth Quarry. Okay, I've been there a couple of times. Here's the Diatomaceous Earth Quarry. It goes, it's over 100 miles long and hundreds of feet thick. Okay. Solid diatomaceous earth.
Right.
Okay. The angle of the rock there is extremely soft. It's like chalk, okay? It's about a 50-degree angle, like he's mentioning. That is correct,
right.
Okay?
Okay.
It breaks apart with your fingernail. I mean, it just crumbles real easily. I've got a bunch of diatomaceous earth right here in the library.
Right. Okay. This is the diatomaceous earth you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm standing. Right.
Okay. Right, right.
Me standing in the middle. Billions of fossils are found in this diatomaceous earth. Fossils of lots of things. Here I have pictures. Fossils of various animals are found buried in this diatomaceous earth.
Right, I remember you talking about
that. There's a porpoise found in the diatomaceous earth, okay?
Yeah.
Lots of fish found in there. We have dozens of them in our museum, okay?
Right.
The point is that if diatomaceous earth, like here's a block of diatomaceous earth that I have, it's probably a little over a square foot,
mm-hmm.
and it contains, by our best count, probably about 50 or 60 fish fossils in 1 square foot.
Oh, yeah, it's just scattered in there. Yeah.
You can see them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can come down to our museum and see them. So, that is correct. The whale was 80 feet long. It was, and I have, look at my drawing right here. It is parallel with the bedding planes.
Right.
Right? I show that in the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned in the seminar, matter of fact, here it is. I'll quote it from you. The layers are tilted, so the thickness of the whale is the problem to explain, not the length.
Okay, I understand that now. Okay.
But see, now why don't they say that on Talk Origins? Why don't they admit that that is still a problem? 12-foot thick whale is still a problem for diatomaceous earth.
Well, you know, they call themselves Talk Origins, but if the more you look at what they have to put on their website, the more you wonder what kind of origins they're talking about.
Well, there's another website called True Origins, which answers all of those Talk Origins skeptics, and the Talk Origins guys will not debate the True Origins guys now.
True Origins, okay.
True Origins, I don't know if it's .com or .org, but
okay.
They have taken on the Talk Origins and, you know, to shut them up, make them be honest.
Okay, so it really doesn't matter if it was 80 feet long or 800 feet long. The point is the thickness of the whale.
Correct.
Okay. May I ask you one more question?
I know you're
busy. The, I assume you said yes, I'm sorry. I have a DVD by Dr. Ball.
Carl Ball, a good friend of mine.
Yes. As a matter of fact, here a few weeks ago, I was down there in Glen Rose. I was able to meet him, and I saw your seminar there. That was wonderful. Dr. Ball, on his DVD, and I'm not sure exactly which one it is, he makes a point that, and I've heard this before, but I'm really not too sure how to answer people about it when they ask about it. He makes a point on one of his DVDs that the planets and stars create musical notes. Am I not misinterpreting what he said there? Or
I've never heard him say about the planets, but I think it's the Bible even teaches the stars sing together, Job 38. I think every astronomer can tell you that the stars produce radio waves.
Okay, maybe that's what he was talking about. Okay.
And so I think his theory is that the canopy of crystalline ice above the atmosphere before the flood came, would have been able to transfer those radio waves into sound waves.
Okay. And he actually had drawn on a large paper, it looked like part of a sonata or something, you know, the musical notes and the whole bit. So I was just kind of wondering about that.
But that
I thought that I might have heard something to that extent once before, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. That I know that he teaches that, and I think he's correct.
Okay.
I don't know how you can prove such a thing.
Yeah.
But any astronomer will tell you, yes, the stars do produce radio waves.
So you could basically interpret that as like a musical note or something?
Well, I would think so.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right. Well, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate your time and your videos and everything about you, and keep it up. I appreciate it.
All right. If you get any particular questions on Talk Origins or any other website that criticizes us, give me a call. Let me defend myself.
I'll sure do that. And thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, folks. You can join us. Our one lonely phone line is open, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, extension 136, or 850 if you're outside the U.S., 850-479-DINO, and you can get a hold of our program here. Okay. Where'd we leave off? We were talking about... There. Oh, hang on. Well, break time. We'll Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live. Sager, and what nationality is Sager?
It's Polish. It used to be Sigorsky.
Sigorsky, but it's Sager. Sigorsky. Okay.
Yeah.
Sigorsky invented the helicopter, you know, or something like that. No, that was close. Anyway, you can join us on the program. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. You can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant messages, AOL instant messages, Dr. Dino Live. Who's on the phone there, Robert?
We've got Don Forbes from Michigan, where it's nice and cold.
Don Forbes from Michigan. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, brother. I talked to you this morning. I was just trying to send you an email, and I'm not computer savvy enough to do that, so I had to call.
All right. I much prefer a call anyway.
Oh, good. You've talked in your videos before about how governments are getting control of the weather and able to send up microwaves and that kind of thing to change the weather. Do you think the weather is as crazy as it has been because of man's tampering with it?
I could not prove that, but I suspect that very strongly. There's a book called HARP, it's called Angels Don't Play This Harp, H-A-A-R-P.
H-A-R-R-P?
H-A-A-R-P.
Oh, okay.
It stands for High Altitude Aurora Research Project.
Okay.
There has been a lot of work on the aurora, the magnetic field, you know, of the northern lights and southern lights. There's been a lot of research for many years, like decades, on trying to manage or control or manipulate or move or whatever this magnetic field, or to use, like you mentioned, microwaves. You beam a microwave up into the sky to create a virtual lens or a virtual mirror, the purpose being to control weather. And I don't know how far it's gone. According to this author in this book, it's gone really far. And yes, I don't think they can create a hurricane, but they can steer it, apparently, to some degree, according to this author. Angels Don't Play This Harp, and according to other sources I've seen. So, yeah, I love my country, but I fear my government. I suspect that's what's going on.
Yeah, I'm just going by the weather that we see in northern Michigan. We used to get hellacious winters, and I don't think we've had a decent winter in, I'd say, 15 years.
Right. Things seem to be much milder in most places.
Yeah. So if there is a greenhouse or, you know, theory or global warming theory, it tends to be true from what I can see, but I don't know. All right, I thought I'd just run that by you.
Yeah, I like I said, I don't know that I can prove that, but I certainly suspect that that's true. There seems to be, certainly that's the desire. It's been the desire of people for centuries to try to, you know, control the weather. That'd be ideal for your enemy, you know, make it not rain on him, starve him out, you know.
Yeah, I was reading a comment from a gentleman from newswithaviews.com. There's a site that has all these, they're well-educated fellows too, and I guess this guy was saying that the Pentagon has even said that they will own the weather by 2016. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if that statement has any credibility or not. But
well, it's hard for the average person of normal intelligence and sanity to comprehend this. But there are some extremely evil people on this planet who really think it's their duty to control the world. In their mind, the ideal world would be them as multi-bazillionaires, maybe 300 or 400 of them. There's a book out called The Committee of 300 that deals with the fact. He thinks there are 300 of these super rich bazillionaire people who have most of the money and the power, and now they want all of it. Okay? And he says these people, their ideal world is about a half a billion people on the planet to be their slaves, you know, to be the rice farmers. And they, you know, sit back and collect the labor, you know. I mean, suppose I told you, hey, I'm going to give you a job, I'm going to give you a position where you get 25% of everybody's labor in the country. 25% of what everybody makes goes to you.
Hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
What would you do once you got a few bazillion dollars? I mean, you can't spend it all. Now that you got money more than you can possibly spend, what's the next thing you go after?
Doesn't our government already have a job like that?
They already have a job like this, sir. You guessed it. You guessed it. And it is so, the whole concept of government is so far from what our founding fathers intended. We have been taken over and don't even know it.
Right.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
The conspiracy. And they said this years ago. The Illuminati said the conspiracy is going to be so grand the average person won't even believe it. If you could explain it to them, they wouldn't believe it.
Hmm. Now, is it on the UN building that they have a quote in there of what one of their goals are, to bring the population down to a certain number?
I don't know if that's in the UN. I know it's on the Georgia Guidestones. I have seen that.
Okay.
Go outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Go east about 70 miles to the town of Elberton, Elberton. And then go north on Highway 77 about, I don't know, 8 or 9 miles. And on the right, you'll see the Georgia Guidestones out in the middle of no place.
Hmm.
They look like Stonehenge sticking up out of the ground. I have pictures of it. RadioLiberty.com or .org has pictures of it. But there's some on my website if you watch my video number one. It says very clearly, 10 commandments of the New World Order. Number one, maintain humanity under a half billion.
Hmm. Wow.
Well, Ted Turner said we need a 95% decline in human population. So go for it, Ted. You first,
Right.
If we don't follow, then wait for us, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks, brother.
I'll
sit back and listen. We got a little bit of delay here, so I can't listen at the same time. So.
No problem. Call anytime. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. You can join us on the program. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Our one lonely phone line is open. You can call and leave a message, but did you ever listen to the messages?
I did.
And were there any good ones on there?
Nope. Most of them were, they'd call and they'd hang up right away after they got the message.
After they got the message. Like the Grinch.
The Grinch, right.
Do not utter one syllable. They can leave a message all they want. It just won't do any good. That's okay.
Right.
You were going to read some testimonies. Well, too late. The phone's ringing again. We'll get to them in just a minute here. Or you can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live. Here we go. Fight for Jesus today. I'll try to get some of these in. It says, when did you make your first 7-part creation seminar tapes? Oh, it started off as one videotape. I mean, I covered the whole seminar in 2 hours. I had 5 minutes on the cavemen, 5 minutes on the dinosaurs, and it has slowly expanded now to where it's 18 and a half hours on the seminar. So I would guess the first actual taping was probably done on one tape, and it would have been about 1990. We have retaped, I'm going to just pick a number and guess, it's going to be close, 20 times. My son, who does my video editing, could probably tell you. We've retaped about 20 times and have never, one time, been happy with the results. But it gets closer every time, okay? All right, who's on the phone there, Robert?
We've got Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan, yes, sir, go ahead.
Hey there. Hey, Kent. We got a question or so today.
Good.
Great. Okay, let me get back up here and make sure I have it right. He wants me to ask this verbatim for you. He's an atheist, He said, ask him, how did you get away with teaching high school science for 15 years when you obviously think that sound is part of the electromagnetic spectrum?
Oh, I read that one already because that was also emailed to me.
Oh, well, then that's the same guy then. He said
yeah.
He just sent it to you.
Nate. Yeah, that's Nate.
Okay.
Was he listening? I just answered it.
I have no idea. I guess 20, 30 second delay or so.
Okay. Ask him. Email him back.
Okay.
Email him back and say, hey, did you hear his answer on the... If not, have him call in.
Okay. Well, yeah, his phone's been busy, he said, so...
Yeah.
Okay. That and the other one here, I don't know if he put that in there, but about bats being birds in the Bible, if it's scientifically accurate, that would be your explanation for that.
Well, I don't know if the Bible teaches bats are birds. Now, that I don't know. But, however, I do know the biblical classification is certainly older than Carolus Linnaeus's classification, number one. And number two, you can classify things based upon anything you want. We could develop a classification system based upon weight if we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, elephants and, rhinos and hippos and whales might all be in the same category. But, so anybody can develop a classification system and then, of course, claim that everybody else's is wrong. So I think in the Bible it's pretty obvious a whale is called a fish.
Okay.
In Jonah, twice, it's three times, it says, God prepared a great fish. And then in the New Testament in Matthew, it says Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And people say that's a contradiction. No, uh-huh. It's an example of how their classification system was different.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, if you get a bunch of six-year-olds and ask them, is a whale a fish? Of course.
Uh-huh.
It's intuitively obvious. A dolphin, it's a fish. It swims in the water. Duh, The fact that somebody arbitrarily decided, hey, if it breathes air, has hair, bears live young, etc., it's now a different classification. Okay.
Or if you showed them four animals, like a parrot, a cockatoo, a bat, and a banana, which one's different? Yeah.
So if an animal flies in the air as its normal means of locomotion, it may be considered a bird in the biblical classification.
Okay.
So that to say that because it contradicts our 21st century way of dividing things, and therefore it's wrong, is ludicrous. That's an example of their desperation to show the Bible wrong for something.
Well, that reminds me, what's a platypus, or what was the Tasmanian wolf?
Correct. Where would you put a seahorse? Or the only horse that swims upright. Is that just a fish? Okay, we got a break here, Jonathan.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll be back in a minute and a half, folks. See you then. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live here in Pensacola, Florida.
February 24th.
24th. 06. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-3466, extension 136. Or instant messages, Dr. Dino Live, or you can email us now off our website, Dr. Dino, and get on there and email us. Okay, and Jonathan, still on the phone there?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Still here.
Go ahead. I got a whole string of folks waiting for questions, but go ahead.
The other part was about hearing colors.
I answered that too.
That was part of it too?
That was part of his answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, well, I guess that was all. Maybe you said didn't answer it to his satisfaction, but I guess, I don't know. I didn't hear him, 30-second delay.
Tell him to call in.
Right. And, well, that's what I did. He says his phone's busy. Somebody's using his phone a lot. Okay.
Well, tell him, hey, wait, if evolution's true, it ought to automatically evolve, you know, two or three more lines.
Two or three more what?
Phone lines at his house.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, they just kind of crawl out of the wall.
Sure, not that complicated. Just wait a little bit. Okay.
Give it long enough. Anything can happen.
All right, thanks a lot, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Doug, 1243 writes in, remember over a month ago when you were answering a question on the New King James, was safe or not, and I think you only mentioned that it contains some Alexandrian manuscripts and the 666 satanic symbol triangle thing a lot on the cover. I think KJV Acts 325 is the best example of Alexandrian perversion, but anyway, I found out that if you go to Jesus-is-savior.com and scroll down about halfway, you'll see big red letters, False Bibles, and they have a lot of links to the NKJV and other Bibles other than the King James. Oh, and that Deadly Translation link is a good one. Okay. I'll check that out. I'm holding in my hand a new book. Have you seen this one yet? We just added it to the library.
Yeah, we've passed that around the ministry today. Everybody loves it.
The New King James Bible, Do We Need It? The authors of this book were here all day yesterday. That's the couple I was sitting out there talking with, okay? They wrote this book covering the New King James compared to the King James Bible. Oh, it is phenomenal. Brand new book. They are from Quartzsite, Arizona, where all the quartz is found. Well, not all the quartz, but a lot of quartz is found. So, if you want to get one of these books, it's only $5. It's 150 pages, more than that, 160 pages, very thoroughly documented and referenced about the New King James Bible compared to the King James Bible. Are you going to go to the lumber yard, John? I'll go and get all this. This is 12-foot lumber. It'll fit in the black one. Okay, good. All right, good enough. Okay, Robert, read a few testimonies there.
Okay, this one's from Brent. You are the best, Kent. You totally changed my viewpoint, and it only took a few minutes. I never realized how full of holes evolution was. I also love how you stir up such controversy. Keep going. You are creating a change.
Amen. Well, thank you, sir. One more.
Okay, this one's from Karen. Thank you, Dr. Hovind, for the phone call about 2 weeks ago. I said that my children were in biology class in high school, Omaha, and they were able to opt out of the two-week unit. Now I am facing decisions on what they need to do next year, sophomore year. Ecology has almost a whole semester on evolution, but she could... Okay, sorry, I guess pronounced her name wrong. But she could go the applied physics route. Not sure what to do again. I also am very excited to hear you are coming to town for a seminar. Calvary Church in Bellevue. I will be attending. I can't wait. Thanks again. Karen Favor.
Awesome. Another one there? Secretary, she gives you a stack of them. We get a lot of people love or hate this ministry. It kind of, you know, black or white, isn't it?
Yeah, we're waiting for some frowny faces, but today it's only smiley. Okay, Catherine Crowder, we are watching your video on creation at my church on Wednesday night. It is amazing the things that I have learned just in the first video. My grandmother and I guess we have to cut this one short a little bit.
We'll read that, finish that one a bit later. Okay, you get the phone call. I'll tell you what's going on. Okay, this weekend I travel to, tomorrow morning, real early, to Albemarle, North Carolina. It's speaking all day Saturday, tomorrow, and Sunday morning, and then fly home Sunday afternoon. Then, Tuesday, I fly out at 6 in the morning to, so I'll do the program Monday, but Tuesday, 6 in the morning, fly to Virginia, and fly back Wednesday, get in at 6 o'clock. We'll have to miss 2 days next week. Sorry about that. And they are working on a debate at Kent State University for the 2nd, March 2nd, next Thursday. There seems to be a little conflict here. Can we do it or not? And so my secretary is trying to call the guy right now, saying, look, we will buy the ticket. It won't cost a dime. I will come debate the professors at Kent State University with half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. And then Saturday morning, fly out to Manitowoc, Wisconsin, where it's 20,000 below zero, and come back Monday afternoon at 1:30. Tuesday, March 7th, we have Homeschool Appreciation Day. Did you know there are nearly 500 people signed up already to come to that?
That's what Dan Vallis is telling me.
It's going to be a zoo here.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. And then we have a guy coming in to videotape Dinosaur Adventure Land for a television interview on Wednesday. And I do two radio programs that day. Okay. Then on Thursday the 9th, another radio program at 6:30 in the morning. Who on earth scheduled that one? And the next day, another one at 1 o'clock, and then leave Saturday, 11:55, for Bellevue, Nebraska. I've only been in Nebraska once to preach, twice. It's good. Good to get back there.
I haven't preached there yet.
Okay. And then the end of the week, I get busy all that week. Man, oh, man. But on March 17th, I go to Dover, Pennsylvania, where the big court thing was over intelligent design in the schools a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking up in Dover. We're going to straighten them out, or try to. And then the next week, Bakersfield, California, Valley Bible Church. And then Tuesday, the 28th of March, in Laurel, Mississippi.
And I get to go with you to Bakersfield.
Did you really?
Yep.
Awesome. We are not driving that one.
Oh.
Better leave now.
Yeah.
Right? You drove across, right?
It's about a 3-day drive.
3 day.
3.5, maybe.
3.5, okay. Straight down Interstate 10, I mean, it's no big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get on the 10 and turn right on 29 and you're here, right? Okay. All right. Somebody on the phone?
Yes, Grant Bertolet from Louisiana.
Grant, go ahead, Grant.
Hey, long time.
Yes, sir. What part of Louisiana?
Baton Rouge area.
Oh, you guys are still above water, aren't you? Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Grant.
Hey, Jared or Eric get saved while I was gone?
Not that I know of. Not that they've admitted.
Oh, well, too bad. Keep trying. Well,
oh, yeah, I definitely keep trying. I never give up. I had a couple of them from California that contact me quite often on the radio program come to visit me, actually, when I spoke in California. We sat and had a long talk, hour and a half, I guess. I don't know. Great. We had a wonderful time. I don't have two heads. I'm, a real normal human being. You know, some of the atheists don't think that, but, I mean, I'm happily married. I have 3 children and 4 grandchildren and, I work. I have to put my pants on 1 leg at a time, just like everybody else. Go ahead, Grant. What's your question?
Well, have you heard about they were experimenting up in the North Pole with dimensions, and they supposedly demonstrated that there was indeed a fourth dimension?
Oh, yeah? Which is what?
Not really sure. That's about all I heard. It was on the Paul Harvey show, and I just heard him talk about that. I was wondering if you'd heard anything more about that.
No, I never heard of such a thing.
Hmm. Oh, well.
I would go with length, width, height, and time as a fourth dimension, but I suppose you could say there are more if you want to squeeze it some. Some people try to manipulate it.
I don't really think of time as a dimension as much as a measurement.
Kind of length, width, and height, they're also measurements, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Anyway, one more thing. The intelligent design movement, that was a big thing in the media for a while, then it sort of died off. Is that still going on, or is the media just not reporting it, or is that kind of died away?
I believe the media's not reporting it as much, but it's definitely still going on. I mean, what's the opposite of intelligent design? Dumb luck?
Mindless muddling?
Yeah, there we go.
That's the evolution cruncher term.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I think there's still quite a bit in the news about, not as much as there was. You know, there are no court cases going on right now.
All right, well, good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Okay, sounds great. Call anytime.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Bye.
All right, this question about New King James, this book has quite a few comparisons between the King James and the New King James. It's surprising to see the things that they change. Here's the problem. You cannot get a copyright on a book unless it is 10% different than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 150 or 200 English versions of the Bible. Are there 200 different ways to say, you know, Jesus wept?
No.
Okay. Probably not, all right? So at some point, you got to change the meaning to get just to get your copyright. And, of course, to get the copyright, that, of course, means now you get exclusive use to that for 17 years or whatever it is for literary works. And so it goes back to money.
So are they saying that they're changing the meaning or just the making it easier to read?
Well, they always say they're making it easier to read. I mean, they never say they're changing the meaning. They would never say that.
So they're lying. They're lying to someone. They're either lying to us or they're lying to the government who holds the copyright.
Right, copyright. Now, one Bible was made years ago, and they changed. Every time it came to the word children, they said inserted the word brat. And all the brats came to Jesus, you know, to sit at his feet.
Oh, man.
Changed children to brats. You wonder sometimes. Okay, Coach Z Runner says, I think the judges are not being fair in trials, and they need a change. That might be from yesterday. Hmm. But I would agree. Coach Z Runner, I think yesterday you mentioned something about that, and I said, yeah, I think we need to first of all find out who these judges, what do they judge of? You know, are the federal courts actually constitutional courts would be a real good question to ask. You might want to dig into that someplace on probably, I don't know if remediesatlaw.com has stuff on that. But okay, who's on the phone there, Robert?
Joel from Wisconsin.
Joel from Wisconsin. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was reading an article on the internet. And it said that according to Newsweek in 1987, by one account, there are some 700 scientists with respectable academic credentials out of a total of 480,000. And then they give a percent that it's only 0.14% of the scientists, you know, believe in young Earth. And I was just wondering what you had to say about that.
Well, I'd like to see how they did their poll and who determined that. I mean, it'd be pretty easy to say there are 400,000 scientists in the world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you might find only 700 have signed a particular petition saying they believe in young Earth. That doesn't mean that's all that believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I think that would be real faulty logic to say that that poll means anything. The logic there, I think, is real faulty. Also, you got to look at the consideration that lots of scientists are scared stiff to admit they believe in creation. If you did a survey of Soviet teachers or scientists 10 years ago and said, how many of you believe in communism? What would they say? Well, they would all believe in communism.
Yeah, we believe in it, yeah.
Of course we believe in it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What else? Any other questions? You know? Now, does that mean they believe in it? Or does it mean they're scared to answer any other way?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Right. I think if a scientist today does not support the evolution theory, he will lose his grant money, lose his job. I mean, you banished academic Siberia for daring to question the evolution theory.
Oh, okay. I have another question. On the same article, they have, like, the Gallup poll and who believes, and they say, like, 47% of everybody in the United States believes in the less than 10,000 years creation.
Yeah.
But then they break it down.
By education?
Yeah, by education.
Right.
And then, or they say like 25% of college graduates believe in the 10,000 years. And then 54% believe in theistic evolution, and then 16 believe in naturalistic.
Right. The survey's been done many times, and it depends on how they ask the question. There was on Darwin's birthday here a couple weeks ago, they had, 8 or 10,000 pastors signed a petition saying, you know, they believe there's no conflict between science and religion. Well, the way they asked that question, I could sign that. I don't think there's a conflict between science and religion.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a conflict between evolution and religion, at least in Christian religion. I would, you know, it depends on how you ask the question. So when they say, is there a conflict between science and the Bible, I would say no. So if they say, you know, do you think there's a, if you don't think there's any conflict between science and the Bible, sign your name. Well, I could sign that. Mm-hmm. But now see, what they do though is they assume that evolution is part of science. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's a pagan religion masquerading as science.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe in the 10,000 years. I was just reading that, and I just wanted to hear what you had to say.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, well, thanks.
Hey, call anytime.
All right, bye.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right, I got an article the other day about diatomaceous earth, and I'll tell this so Kevin can hear this, okay? He's got a brother with some illnesses that this may help. Diatomaceous earth is found many places in the world. You can buy a bag of it at Home Depot for $2, you know? They sprinkle it around your house. It kills insects. Diatomaceous earth, DE it's called, is, you saw the pictures of me standing there in the middle of this 100-mile strip of it, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. They do that. They use this for thousands and thousands of things. For instance, when you take an aspirin, what are you actually eating?
Well,
it's a package of diatomaceous earth packed into a little capsule, and then they put a drop of the medicine or the whatever it is on there. So the whole thing is not the crystalline powder oftentimes that medicine is carried in is diatomaceous earth. Okay. It's actually extremely tiny bodies of creatures that live in the water. They are so tiny, these little crystals, that the surface area is phenomenal and it absorbs things. When you take Tums or Rolaids to absorb excess stomach acid, it's diatomaceous earth most of the time. Okay. Packed in a capsule. You can buy a truckload of this stuff for $20. And then pack it in capsules and sell it for $20 million by the time you figure, you know, the profit margin is phenomenal. Anyway, this article was talking about people that have parasites in their system. This diatomaceous earth kills the bugs around your house because it is so tiny. Bugs breathe through their skin, through pores in their skin, through spiracles. It plugs up the pores. Well, it does a similar thing to parasites that are in your body. So there are people who take a spoonful of diatomaceous earth, stir it into orange juice, and drink it. And having phenomenal results with eliminating all kinds of parasites in their body.
Wow.
That's why I thought, hey, your brother Brian, at least try that. You know, go to Home Depot, buy a bag, and just don't eat the whole bag. Okay, just try. Start off small, okay? Half a spoonful, stir it in a big glass, and, you know. But the testimonies, I think I put the article in your box. If not, I've got it here somewhere. Our testimony of testimony, people saying, yeah, they did the diatomaceous earth and were cured of the strangest things. So I didn't know if you'd heard about that. I thought Kevin might do something. Give it a try. All right. That's all I need to think about. Who's on the phone there, Robert?
Nate from Salt Lake City.
Nate. Yes, sir. Nate, go ahead.
Hello. I'm the guy that sent you the two emails. I was wondering if you would please answer them.
I did answer them about the very beginning of the program.
I wasn't here. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't know if I want to take time to go through all that again, but Salt Lake City, Nevada?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Or Utah. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
There's no
Utah.
Such thing as Salt Lake City.
I was just in Nevada, yes, a couple days ago. Just in Nevada a couple days ago. Salt Lake City.
Do you ever take geography? I mean, seriously, come on. It's the capital of the state, dude.
Nate, are you just a scoffer?
No, I'm serious.
Okay. I've taken geography. I probably know 1,000 times more about it than you do. I've been to 37 countries in all 50 states, and it's just a slip, okay?
And that's why you think Salt Lake City is in Nevada.
It was just
that
a
makes
slip.
A lot of
Nate,
sense.
Lighten up, okay?
They've got to get you on the small things.
Yeah, they can't get me on the big things. Now, Nate, do you believe in evolution?
No, I accept evolution based on scientific evidence, actually.
Okay, what scientific evidence
not
do you have?
Not about belief at all.
It's not a belief. Okay, what scientific evidence do you have that would ever lead me to want to believe that a dog came from a non-dog? Would you agree?
The fact that there are several instances of observed speciation, very well documented.
Wait. Let's refine this question then, okay?
Okay.
Observed speciation. Okay.
Yes, i.e. a species evolving.
Okay.
To another species.
Give me an example specifically. What did they get?
Well, do you
hang on,
want
we got
do
break.
You want a plant example or an animal example?
Either one, Nate, we got break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You think up your best examples of speciation. We'll discuss it when we get back in 2 minutes from the break. Okay, hang on. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live February something
24th.
06. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. And we defend the position that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And we have Nate from Salt Lake City, Utah, on the phone defending the idea that evolution is correct and we all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. You still there, Nate?
Yeah, but can I make a correction? I never said we came from a rock.
Okay, you said you accept evolution. Okay, but you
accept evolution.
Does
but
evolution?
You are mixing up sciences, Mr. Hovind.
Okay, does
you are mixing up chemistry with biology. What you're talking about when you say we came from rocks is a biogenesis that is not part of biology. That is part of chemistry. So,
wait, Nate, I never said anything about biology or chemistry. I said evolution theory. Does the
evolution theory says nothing about the origins of life, the origins of the planet, the origins of the universe. Those are all different branches of science. If you taught high school science for 15 years, you would know this.
I know that very well, which is why I'm trying to get people
now
like you to...
Why do you get them mixed up?
I don't mix them. Why do you insist on separating them? It is a vital part of your theory. What evolved?
No, it's not. It doesn't matter where life came from. That doesn't matter. The fact is that evolution is an observed fact regardless of the origins of life. So.
Okay, let's get this down to one simple question at a time. Maybe you can handle it here. You say evolution is an observed fact, okay?
Yes.
What do you mean by evolution?
Well, would you like me to give you the dictionary definition of evolution?
No, I just asked for you,
evolution is defined in the American Heritage Dictionary specifically as the natural process by which new species arise.
Okay, now define species for me, or for the audience here.
Species is a population of organisms that does and can produce viable offspring.
Okay, are a dog and a wolf a separate species?
No, they're not. They are actually both classified as Canis lupus.
No, Canis lupus, Canis domesticus. You need to check
it
out.
No, that is wrong, Kent Hovind. The domestic dog is currently classified as Canis lupus domesticus. It is a subspecies of the wolf.
Okay. Would you agree that the dog and the wolf had a common ancestor?
No. Well, the dog or the domestic dog ancestor is the wolf because they are the same species. There's no speciation event.
Okay, you were going to give us an example of a speciation that you thought... Okay, give me an example.
Would you like an animal or a plant example?
No, I told you before the break, either one, but I guess start
either
with an animal.
Okay, the evening primrose, Onethera lamarckiana, evolved into Onethera gigas. That is a plant example.
Okay, now, one at a time, I want to check this out.
Okay.
Explain the difference between these two plants. Are they both still a flowering plant?
Yes.
Okay. Do they both still look similar?
Slightly.
Okay. Would every average person who doesn't know or care about this argument consider them the same kind of...
Ad hominem, but go ahead.
Would they understand them to be the same kind of plant?
Well, see, that's you're using a very common creationist tactic there.
Correct. The word
bringing
kind.
Up kinds. You see, Kent, there's no such thing as quote unquote kinds in biology. I'm sorry.
Okay. Are these true plants considered new species because they cannot cross pollinate? Or can they?
Yes,
can they?
That's one of the reasons. The other reason is their chromosome number is different as well.
Okay. Are the horse and the zebra different chromosome number?
Honestly, I don't know.
Well, they are.
About those.
Can they crossbreed?
I don't know.
They can. You get
you
a zorse. Yes, you can, and you get a zorse. Are the lion...
And is the zorse a viable offspring? Is it sterile, yes or no?
I don't know. Is it alive?
I'm sure it is sterile. I will guarantee you it's sterile, just like a mule.
Now, the mule is not always sterile.
Oh, about 98% of the time it is, actually.
Okay, so that other 2% means what? You got a problem.
No, not really.
Yes, you do.
If you understood science, you would know that there's no such thing as proof. There's no such thing as 100% certainty. Therefore, things like 2% out of 100% is very much acceptable in science.
Come
on, you taught science for 15 years, dude. Come on.
Exception can turn that.
Are you going to answer the email questions I sent you or not? That's why I called.
Nate?
Stop distracting me. Answer my questions, sir.
I told you I did answer those questions. I don't want to waste radio time to answer them again. If you weren't listening, I'm sorry. You sent them in so you could get an answer, and I spent 10 minutes on it. So I did answer, and you can ask anybody.
You said you were going to answer again because I was not listening.
You want everybody out there. There's 2,000 people listening here. You want everybody out there to have to listen to it again because you weren't listening. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's not because I wasn't listening. It's because I was unable to tune in. I was trying to figure out how to listen to the show.
Okay. Well, one at a time here now. So you think that the evidence that you gave to me about this primrose is enough to cause you to believe that this rose and a dog, both life forms, are related? I know you don't want to go into, you know, abiogenesis, so let's just stick with what you consider to be evolution. You believe a dog...
Or what all biologists that have real credentials consider to be evolution. You're misrepresenting the facts.
Okay, all biologists that have real credentials in your little mind would say that the dog...
In the mind of academia,
Or
the scientific community in general.
The scientific community. So are you telling me that you believe, and all scientists worthy of judgment believe, that the dog and the rose have a common ancestor?
Please say that again. I did not understand your question.
Let me make it real simple for you.
Yes.
Do you believe the dog and the rose have a common ancestor?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't believe it. I accept it.
You accept it?
Yes.
You see a rose, a primrose, a flower, produce a slightly different kind of flower...
Yeah.
And that is enough evidence to make you jump to the wild conclusion that a dog and a rose are related. Now, why would anybody believe such a thing?
I didn't say I believed it.
Oh, you said you accepted
it. I said I accept it.
You see, you observe. Now, science deals with things we can observe and study and test and demonstrate.
Yes, and intelligent design, by the way, is not one of those things.
I would agree.
Not science.
No, I would agree.
So you actually will admit that intelligent design is not science.
If based on the definition of observe, test, demonstrate, neither is evolution. You did not observe a dog and a rose come from a common ancestor.
Oh, I didn't need to.
Nobody has ever observed such a thing. Believe that. That's why it's a religion, Nate.
No, it's not a religion.
It is exactly a religion. You have to believe this.
Dictionary definition of religion?
Sure. Give me which dictionary you have there. I've got a whole host of them here beside me.
American Heritage again.
Okay. Religion. Read that to me.
I got to look at it real quick.
Yeah. My contention has been all along for 17 years now that I've been doing this that evolution is a religion. You have to believe.
Yeah, I've got all your seminars. I know what you say.
And we still haven't got you converted yet. Well, that's interesting.
You'll never convert me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, we'll keep
trying. I'm not that shallow-minded, I can think for myself.
You believe a dog and a rose have a common ancestor, and you're not shallow-minded?
No, I don't believe it. I accept it.
You better think that one through one more
mouth,
time.
Kent.
Okay, you accept...
Okay, here we go. The definition for religion out of the American Heritage
All right,
Dictionary.
Go for it.
Belief in and reverence for a supernatural power or powers regarded as creator and governor of the universe.
That's evolution. Read it again.
What is the supernatural power or powers that are regarded as the creator and governor of the universe in evolution?
Evolution theory itself is the power that created everything. You're
using circular logic. You can't say that evolution is its own God. I mean, duh. That's like saying a house is its own domicile, its own place to live. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's like...
Okay, well, what is the driving force behind evolution?
What do you mean?
What caused the dog and the wolf to... Or the dog and the rose, I'm sorry, to diverge from this whatever this common ancestor was, this does, we'll call it.
Well, there could have been several things. That's where a lot of creationists, what they don't understand. A lot of times, I've heard you say this several times, actually, Kent, that evolution is just a theory. In science, a theory is the end result of the scientific process. You know this, right?
I don't think...
According to science, gravity is, quote-unquote, just a theory.
Nate, we can observe gravity. We never observe roses produce something other than roses or
that's the thing that you don't understand. I already gave you the biological definition of evolution, the natural process by which new species arise. This is an observed fact. They have observed species evolving into new species.
And who's...
Therefore, evolution is an observed fact.
And who is defining what a species is?
Well, the ICZN, for one.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you consider a dog and a rose, different species. I know you think dog and wolf...
Oh, of course they are. They're different genera. They're different class. They're actually a different kingdom. One belongs to Animalia. The other belongs to Plantae.
That is correct. You got it. Now, but yet you believe they had a common ancestor.
Yes. I don't believe
it. No, you accept it. I'm sorry.
I accept it, yes.
Okay. And this is because of the great depth of intelligence here, not a shallow mind. You accept the idea that a dog and a rose have a common ancestor because two plants, one subspecies of plant has now been separated into a separate new species, and aha, poof, that's proof that the dog and the rose have a common ancestor. You have accepted the phenomenal, based on, I think, real shallow evidence. Nate, you need to stop and reconsider this.
Oh my gosh, Kent, you're hilarious.
No, I'm trying to get you to understand how stupid this theory is, to accept to see this little tiny bit of evidence that somebody's class, we got a new species of primrose, aha. See, that proves dog and rose are related. I mean, think about it. Have you thought this through?
No, I never said that observed speciation proves that. I never said that. You're putting words in my mouth.
Okay, now I'm trying to get you to see that a religion is something that you believe happened.
A religion requires a deity by definition. There's no such thing in evolution. There's no deity.
Is atheism a religion?
No, actually, atheism is defined as lack in belief.
You better look up... It's a religion. Religion.
It's
how about
a theist? I.e., without theism.
I understand.
Without belief in
God.
I didn't. That is what.
Nate, I didn't ask if they believe in God. Obviously, atheism means no. I asked if it is a religion.
No, it's not.
Then you're mistaken.
No,
there's no evolution.
By any definition in any dictionary, a religion requires a deity.
Atheism.
There's no deity in atheism. There's a lack of deities in atheism.
The atheists, you need to study this out. It is a religion. Nate, would you look at the Humanist Manifesto? Either one. There are three of them. Humanist Manifesto 1, 2, and 3. All three of them, I believe, I know the first two, do very clearly start off by saying religious humanists accept the idea that there is no deity. They know that atheism is religious, and I think you need to check it out one more time. Evolution is also religious.
Who says I'm following? I'm not even an atheist, so what's your point?
Oh, I don't know or care if you are. Okay, I'm just pointing out that...
obviously do, because you brought it up.
Okay, I just asked if atheism was... Because by your definition, a religion has to involve a deity. I'm trying to show you that it does not have to involve a deity. You may have found a dictionary that says that. I've got 40 dictionaries in the library here. We can show you one that doesn't say that if you'd like. But read the dictionary definition again you had of religion and think about the evolution theory now as how I would see it as fitting that definition to a T. Can you read that one more time? Do you still have it there?
The definition
of religion.
Belief in and reverence for a supernatural power or powers regarded as creator and governor of the universe. You see, evolution cannot be this because there's nothing supernatural about it. It's completely natural.
It's completely natural to believe a dog and a rose have a common answer. That's completely natural?
That's not what I'm talking about, Ken.
That's what you said earlier. You thought a dog and a rose have a common ancestor. You want to deal with life forms, not abiogenesis. But yet you want me to believe that a dog and a rose have a common ancestor based on a primrose producing what somebody...
I don't care if you believe it or not.
Accept it. I'm sorry. You want me to accept
your lack of acceptance is just evidence of your ignorance. But anyways, can we get back to the reason I called?
If it's about the questions, I told you I already answered the questions.
And you said you would answer them for me again because now I'm here. You asked me to call in so you could answer, so I called in, all right?
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. Give me the questions. Just to humor you and to try to show you what a nice guy we are and try to convert you, actually. I'm going to answer them again. Give me the questions one at a time, piece by piece.
Be a good Christian, Ken.
Sure. I
want to know why you think that sound is part of the electromagnetic spectrum.
I do not.
Then why do you think... Do you want me to quote three?
No, I read the quote and I said I agree. I misspoke. I said something wrong, and that's the only time I've ever said, maybe twice I've ever said that. And I said I don't say that.
I can actually cite three times. That you
okay,
said
so
that
three
the
times.
The most recent was only 4 years ago, 2002, actually.
Yeah, I speak real fast, 300 words a minute. Speak 900 times a year, once in a while you say something wrong, and I understand. However, then I said to answer your question. That there have been many experiments done, where sound waves can hit water and produce light. So maybe sound and light are related.
Where sound what?
Sound waves can hit water and produce light.
They don't produce light, they refer. refract light because of the ripples created on the water.
No. I know they can refract light, duh, but they can actually make the water light up with sound waves.
Oh, so you're claiming that by passing sound through a liquid medium, you can produce photons. That's your claim.
I am claiming that
you
I'm literally
that is what you just
that
said.
That is not literally what I said. Listen to me, and don't put words in my mouth either.
Okay,
I said there have been experiments done where sound waves were focused on water and it produced light. I don't understand.
Photons.
I don't understand. I didn't say photons. You did.
That is what light is, Kent. Light is a photon.
I said sound waves have been focused on water and it produced light. I don't understand why, but I simply mentioned that maybe there is a connection between sound and light. We don't know. Is there a connection between electricity and magnetism? We would say, well, certainly. Is there a connection between electricity and light? Apparently. Is there a connection between electricity and sound? I don't know, but there may be. So, you are correct in pointing out that I should not have said sonar in all the examples I gave, okay? And I don't do that anymore, and I thank you for pointing it out. Now,
I'm glad to hear you don't make that mistake anymore. That's very
okay.
Cool.
Would you agree that there are lies in our textbooks since you have our seminar, and are you working to get those out, like the gill slits on the human embryo? Do you still teach that the embryo having gill slits is evidence of evolution?
Well, I never taught anything. So,
okay, do you still believe that is one of the evidences for evolution?
I never believed that was one of the evidences.
I point out in my seminar that since 1875...
You also point out in one of your seminars that carbon-14 dating is incorrect because someone tested tissue taken from a penguin that was still alive.
Correct.
Hello? So, of course it's going to be incorrect. For the carbon-14 to decay, the animal must be dead first. This penguin was still alive, according to you.
Then why did it give an age of 8,000 years with carbon dating, then? We'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll take the rest of your questions. Hang on the phone there, Nate. All right, be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live, February
24th of 06.
And you can join us on the program. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of the world. And we take your phone calls here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live, and Nate hung up. Keep in mind, folks, I did not hang up on Nate. He hung up on us. I don't believe I've ever hung up on anybody. Maybe, I mean, not that I'm saying I wouldn't. I mean, I would if I had to, but I have not, okay? I don't understand what the problem is. I was answering his questions, okay? But, okay, that's okay. If you want to call in, we will not hang up on you. We are nice people here. All right, here we go. From Alexandrian Manuscript. Okay, Coach, I did that one. Okay, Doug, 1243 writes, 2 weeks ago, you were talking about USA being bankrupt, occupied territory. Everyone broke and don't know it. Owned by the Federal Reserve. So if we are in occupied territory, can we still be called the United States of America? Well, Doug, that's why they changed the name from capital U, capital S, capital A, to small U, capital S. You know, I mean, from small U, it used to be small U, capital S. Anyway, there are 13 different United Stateses. It depends how you spell it. If it's all capital letters, it refers to the Philippines. I don't know. There's websites that deal with all that topic. It's not just something I dabble with. I'm not an expert, but you might want to check that out. So, no, we're still United States, but not the same one the Founding Fathers started. I.E. Soymeister, I was talking to a kid the other day, and he told me that he heard a report saying modern science had found the bones were found in Egypt, proving that Israel didn't go into captivity. Is this kid just insane and anti-Bible because he says that proves the Bible isn't true, and I never heard this before? I don't know if Jewish bones are found in Egypt or not. I know that the Jews left Egypt, okay? They didn't stay, so they didn't leave their bones. I mean, if they left, they probably took their bones with them, you know, inside their muscles. So, no, I've never heard such a thing. And, I mean, that would be, I mean, just because somebody said, we haven't found it, therefore it's not true. I mean, that's lousy logic, okay? A lot of things haven't been found that may be true. I'd question that one. Okay, who's on the phone there, Robert?
Don from Moines City.
Don, go ahead, Don.
I just wanted to comment, brother. When in the chain of evolution does the atheist become evasive and flamingly arrogant. Is that up or down the ladder?
I don't know. Is that what you sensed in the last half hour here?
Yeah.
Evasive and flamingly arrogant.
Yeah, well, is that up or down the ladder in evolution? I'm not sure.
Well, no, so the strongest survive.
Okay,
so
that's up.
That's up. Oh, yeah. And then, sure, that's, you know.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. You can join us on the program here. 877, our one phone line is open. Got my tongue tangled. I got my words wixed. Isn't it something how they do pick on one little thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, oh, man.
I was getting interested in what he's going to say about the lies in the textbooks.
Yeah.
He didn't want, that's where he, probably one of the reasons he hung up.
Right. They want very badly to correct the little mistake that I make, okay? And I admit, I make mistakes, okay? They don't want to correct any mistakes in the textbook, which are glaring.
Mm-hmm.
And see, he's not paying for me to survive, okay? I'm not surviving on tax dollars, all right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't pay my salary. I do pay the salary of the teachers, and I do pay for the, you know, property taxes that help to buy those books right there. So I have a right to complain.
Mm-hmm.
He's not paying my salary. He right. can't complain. I can say whatever I wanted, you
right.
know? And as long as he's not paying for it, great. And he can say whatever he wants, as long as I'm not paying for it. But when they ask me to pay for it, you know, via these textbooks and these public schools, then everybody ought to be griping. Fair, perfectly fair. Kyle Hart, 444, writes in, "Hey, Brother Hovind, I have three questions. How long do you think you can do this before someone decides to execute you?" I'm sure there are many out there, Kyle, who would love to do that right now, okay? No question. There are some absolute vehement websites out there that absolutely hate me. When I went to Berkeley University, I was getting ready to go speak at Berserkly, California, and lo and behold, there was a thread on the internet. Somebody sent it to me. Said, "Brother Hovind, you've got to see what they're saying about you at Berkeley." I said, "Oh, what are they saying?" They said, "They're claiming that when you come on stage, they're going to shoot you." I've got the whole thing here. Let me call it up here real quick. I couldn't believe it. They were talking about these atheists. And then when I got there and I read this all to them, they just were shocked, like, "Oh, no, Hovind read this." Well, here we go. Atheist Forum. Got it right here. This was in 04. Let's see. Here we go. "His supporters will be doing their best to pack the auditorium. You do the same. This will make it more interesting, as Hovind is a master debater and can have a creationist audience in the palm of his hand. So to speak, having an audience containing an element hostile to his propaganda will put him off his stride." This is from Lenny Flank, okay? Loud laughter every time he tells a whopper, or just a collective audible intake of breath, may have the desired effect on him. Mike Dworzowski writes him, "After one atheist suggested killing me on stage with a 50 caliber machine gun, this thread ensued. But a 50 caliber machine gun may not be quite the thing for this job. You want to leave the audience members intact, if possible. Otherwise, you're going to create a lot of bad feelings on every side. Why spray all those bullets around?" David Iwan Kahana wrote in. "Why? They're all creationists anyway. I'm still going with the artillery shell," Lenny Flank writes in. Okay? "Well, whatever does the job is fine with me. I just thought use a large caliber to let him leave this final stage with a real bang. After all, it's the only honest thing he'll ever do on stage." Thor Schmechtig writes in. That's the kind of thing. So there are some out there who would love to shoot me. The problem is, it's illegal in America, okay, so far. It may be illegal someday where they can execute Christians, and I'm sure they would love to have such a thing available to execute Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem is, I am very frequently armed, okay? I believe in the Second Amendment, the right to defend yourself, okay? And so...
Amen.
And I'm a real good shot, okay? My daddy started me probably, I don't remember, probably 2 or 3, you know? We had a rifle range in our basement, for heaven's sake, you know? My brother and I used to shoot and light matches and then make the match burn down, light the candle, and then shoot the candle out without hurting the wick. So, yeah, I mean, Daddy started off so that, you know, I mean, I would never shoot anybody out of anger unless, you know, if they're trying to hurt my family, I have a right to defend myself. So, and we went to the Mennonite church as a kid. For heaven's sake, you know, you don't have guns in Mennonite church. Well, my dad was in World War II and Marines and said, "Yeah, we're going to have guns in our house." And we did. So bring it on, guys. Okay, who's on the phone there?
We've got Leif from Norway.
Leif from Norway. Vorden story to the dog. Did I get it right? You got him on? Oh,
they hear you.
I'm sorry. He had your button off there. Did you get all that? Vorden story to the dog. Did I say it right?
Yep. You said it right.
Okay, good. What's up in Norway, brother?
It's night. it's cold. Generally, Norwegian weather.
Okay, you guys keep it up there. It's 70 degrees down here, and we're loving it.
Oh, well, anyway, we need sunshine. I'm calling from a city called Bergen in the west coast. It's notoriously known for its rain.
Oh, yeah.
And we could use much sunshine.
I know where Bergen is. My grandfather my grandfather came from Trondheim, they call it, right?
Yeah, that's in the north. Oh, or not in the far north, but yeah.
No. Okay, go ahead.
There is a university in the city of Bergen.
Uh-huh.
I have a friend that works there in the computer department. He is a Christian brother, and he has shared with me something that goes on there. There was a debate about Darwin this Wednesday that was now, and we did share some links to them, and I have a debate email debate with one of the people there, and he the question come up: what exactly is the science defined like, and what is scientific method defined like? We had a difference in our opinions there. I said science is what you can see and observe and confirm. Is that right?
I would agree. That's what most... Now, see, here's the problem. In the last 20 years, the people have been trying to change the definition of science just so they could include evolution.
So you, exactly.
Yeah.
And the is there any difference between science and scientific method?
Well, science, the word just means knowledge, okay? The knowledge we have gained over human history based upon observation, knowledge, testing, and experimentation. So the scientific method would be how we gain that knowledge.
How we gain, okay.
Yeah, the word science just simply means knowledge.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the email that I'm... Come on, I should have it here. Let me see the answer. Well, as a side note, I'm working with a computer program, 3D graphic design, and there I've written a debate of evolution on that program because the designer of the program have included evolution and his belief in evolution in the manual of the program.
Right.
I raised a debate on that on the user forum on that internet site. I don't want to give it now. Maybe later.
No problem. I'll be back on the air Monday. I'm traveling this weekend to North Carolina, but I get back Sunday afternoon. So if you want to email it to us, we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, brother.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Have a good time up there in Norway. Okay, you can join us on the program, folks. We've got a few minutes left. I've got a lot more emails to go, and I'm working on them right now. I'm sorry, instant messages. Here, Kyle. Kyle Hart 444 writes, "Hey, Brother Hovind, I have three questions. How long do you think you can do this? Oh, before someone shoots you. They want to do it now.
You got a couple of bullet holes on the side of your van.
Yep. Those are just stickers. But they look like real bullet holes, don't they?
Okay.
Didn't you know those are just stickers?
I knew they were real stickers.
Okay, good. Some cop in California sent those to me. He said, "Brother Hovind, there are people that hate you out there. Here's some bullet holes to put on the side of your van." So we did. Okay, why did you take the info about the parting of the Red Sea out of your seminar, or did I just miss it? I don't know. Somebody's mentioned that before. It might be in the 2003 version of the seminar. I didn't have time to cover it. I don't know. But in the 2005 version of the seminar, it is in there for sure. Or go to wyattmuseum.com, W-Y-A-T-T. WyattMuseum.com, where there's lots of stuff on the crossing of the Red Sea. Okay, last question. What can you tell me about any good info out about extreme variation of animals since the flood? There's a website, I haven't seen it, Jonathan told me about it, called the Hebrew word Bariman, B-A-R-I-M-A-N. I think it's Barimanology.com. Try that. If not, email Jonathan at drdino.com and ask him, you know, where's the website where they deal with the variations, you know, what is exactly a kind, I guess, is what they're hoping to try to determine. Okay, good. Hope that helps. Okay, IBC student 2005 says, "Creation speaker John Pendleton will speak at my Bible college. I spoke at my Bible college today, and we'll be here over the next month or so. He's also trying to have a debate, University of Texas, San Antonio. Are you familiar with his ministry? I was wondering if you recommend his material or not. I don't recall if I've met him, and I don't know what he stands for. So, I mean, I know the name. I've heard of this before, but I'm sorry. I don't know where he comes down, if he's a young earth creationist or a theistic evolutionist or whatever. Sorry. Don't know. So I will have to remain neutral until I get a specific, I guess. IBC student 2005 says, a religion is simply a belief system. It doesn't have to include a dictionary or God. I was saying, maybe God. I agree. IBC student, I think religion is a belief system. It can be atheism is a religion without a God. So that's perfectly fine. Okay, and evolution's a religion, and that's fine if they believe it. I don't care if they believe that or not. It doesn't bother me. It bothers me that they don't understand it's a religion or they don't admit it's a religion. We see a rose produce a different kind of rose, and therefore, see? Proof, dogs and roses are related. That's deep thinking, all right. Okay, here we go. D. Peddens writes in, Kent, if he wants to sidestep having to accept the notion of spontaneous generation, then this misguided young man needs to explain why there are no positive mutations. This is the key component of the perpetuation of evolution. Dr. Spetner, John Hopkins, showed that all mutations lose both energy and useful information. Sometimes, we got 2 minutes left here. Sometimes, redundant information gets added on, i.e., mutated fruit flies have extra wings, but they can't fly any better. Actually, they can't fly at all. The key is, it's still a fly. Therefore, you can't go from a rose to a human through mutations and natural selection. Also, after listening to your bait, this young man has no idea what he's talking about and doesn't know he is dumb. Laugh out loud. I didn't say that. I just read what somebody else said.
I know.
Okay. Archangel boy, sorry about that, writes in, with regards to this caller, atheists always do this. They always say, I don't believe there is a God, instead of the more honest, I believe there is no God. Ooh, that's a good point. I like that. And Doug, 1, 2, 4, 3, last question, and I won't get it in. The bell is ringing here. We'll save this. We'll start off Monday with Doug's question. Doug, 1, 2, 4, 3. Folks, see you then. Hey, God loves you. Get saved if you're not a Christian. Go to heaven with us. Thanks a lot. See you Monday. Bye.